Welcome to the Sean Stevenson Show. I'm Sean Stevenson, your host and professional speaking guide. You have a message to share, and I can teach you how to get it to millions. The Sean Stevenson Show, the best resource for building a lucrative speaking business and a fulfilling life. Enjoy the show. Welcome to part two of How to Handle Media Interviews, except this time, we're going to flip it around, and this is all about how to conduct stellar interviews. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I've been on a lot of media, television, radio, I've been in movies, I've been on podcasts, internet, and with all of that media, I've gone through good experiences and not so good experiences. But I've also had interviews that I've conducted as well. About 10 years ago, I had an online magazine for men giving advice to how do you live a great life and attract the mate of your dreams. So I interviewed, over these 13 issues that the magazine existed, I interviewed some of the best experts in fields of psychology and fashion, and it was an awesome experience. And I learned a lot about how do you conduct interviews that are fascinating. I also had an interview series called Speaking School, where I interviewed some of the best professional speakers of all time, and got to know what were the tips of their trade. And between those two sets of interviews, I've developed an understanding of what makes an interview awesome. How do you run a stellar interview? So today, going on the theme of the last episode, it's kind of a special. I'm going to be going through the do's and the don'ts to running an incredible interview. So looking back on all the interviews that I've been in, one stands out the most, and you may not have heard this interview, Josh Lipovetsky, but he did the most amazing interview I've ever had with someone. And I've been on Oprah, I've been on Jimmy Kimmel, I've been interviewed in dozens, if not hundreds, of interviews in my life. But Josh did the most amazing job. And I'm going to tell you why. Josh did his homework on me. And this is going to be the first point that I share with you. When you're conducting an interview, don't just do a traditional interview where you give the same 10 questions to every single person. It's going to be boring for your guest. If your guest is bored, they will give you bad answers, and the whole interview will let down the listener. Josh didn't do that. Josh had a podcast at the time, and he went back and he researched as far back as my high school years, pulling up all kinds of information about my life. He had combed hundreds of YouTube videos of me. He had read my book cover to cover. He knew me. So when we sat down for the interview and he asked questions, they were incredibly unique. They were questions that I had never been asked before. And that's why I'm telling you, if you want to run a stellar interview, you need to do incredible homework on your guest. Find out personal things, professional things, their interests, their hurts, their failures, their upsets. I recommend listening to a lot of other interviews that they've conducted, that they've been a guest on, to find out what have they been already asked. You don't want to be the host that asks the same questions they've been asked hundreds of times. So it's good to know what have they already been asked so you don't repeat those types of questions. Find out what are some of the things that light them up. I saw this once with my friend Keith Yackey. He went to interview Gary Vaynerchuk and he asked him all the traditional questions, but then in the end, he asked him a lot about baseball cards and went back into Gary's past in his startup business, running baseball cards as a business, and Gary lit up. He had a twinkle in his eye. And this is important. You want to find what's going to give a twinkle in the eye of your guest when you're interviewing them. Sure, maybe you're interviewing them about their career or about their mission or their project, but it's okay to throw in questions about things that are passion pieces of theirs. You know, it's amazing when you ask somebody about something that lights them up, they get lit up in the answering, and then they go deeper with the rest of your questions. I've seen this time and time again, where somebody will say, hey, I know we're talking about politics and you're a senator, but I also heard you love to cook. Can you talk to us about what kind of cooking you love to do, and what do you do? What's your favorite meal that you love to prepare? And that person will light up. Why? Not just because you're interviewing them about something that they're not used to talking about, so they're excited about that. And not only are you talking about something that they care about, but you're taking them out of their normal autopilot. You're taking them out of their normal routine, and you're showing them that you actually care about them as a human being, not as a mouthpiece, not as some kind of machine that's supposed to spit out answers. I interviewed Larry Winget, a professional speaker in the Hall of Fame, and one of my questions was, what have you done to stay healthy, physically healthy? And he stopped and he smiled, he leaned back, and he said, you know, no one's ever asked me that question. And that's the kind of questions you want to be asking. You want to be asking questions that they've never been asked. Because then they see you as special. They remember your interview. They think back about that interview for years to come. And in the future, they might even return to be interviewed again because they know how awesome of a host you are. So, you want to check out your homework here. You want to look into their background. You want to find out all kinds of things about your guests. You want to listen to other interviews that they've been on and make sure that your questions are different than them. You want to go the extra mile and go deep into their archives to find out information. Something I did when I was running my interview series for men is I created this fun little acrostic, H-E-R-B, HERB. And I recommend you create an acronym or acrostic here that each letter represents a different word. So for mine, it was habits, environment, resources, and beliefs. So when I was interviewing my guests, there was a series of questions that were the same no matter which guest I had on, so we could get contrast between the people. So some questions you're going to want to change up and never ask again to anybody else, but some, it's okay to have a pattern. So I would ask them, what habits do you have in your life? What are the things that you set up in your environment? You know, how does your house or your office, what are the things that need to be present for you to be productive or peaceful? Resources, what are the books you're reading? What are some of your favorite movies? What poets light you up? What are some of your favorite sports? And beliefs. So what are some of your core empowering beliefs? What do you believe that maybe separates you from the rest of the population? Now, whether it's HERB or something else that you create, you want to make sure that your guest is listening to the questions closely because they're excited, not because they just want to get it over with. Another way that you can be an amazing person running an interview is thank your guests after the show. Send them a thank you card in the mail, maybe with even an iTunes gift certificate or an Amazon gift certificate, something that, you know, it could be even just like $20 to say thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Let me know if there's anything I can ever do to support you, your career, your mission, your friends or family. It's important when you're running interviews to have the guests feel very appreciated for being on your program. The other thing that I did that I recommend that you do as well is go out and purchase the content, the books, the audios, the video series that these individuals have put out, because it is so flattering and amazing when you're being interviewed and the host said, you know, on DVD number 3 in your series, you talked about dot, dot, dot. That shows the guest that you actually purchased. You put in an investment into their information. And let me tell you, they're going to remember that. They're going to feel amazing. They're going to take it seriously. And they're probably going to recommend other people they know on their level to get interviewed by you. It's the little things that you do that make the stellar interviewing process amazing. Consume their content and ask for specific and certain questions about their content. I love when somebody's read my book clearly and they say, here are the top 10 quotes that I got out of your book, Sean, or here are the top 3. I would love if you would elaborate on them. It lets me know that they actually did the work. Here's something you want to hear at the end of your interviews with your guest. You want the guest to say, that was fun. Those are the kinds of questions I never get asked. I love this. I could have done this for hours. Thank you so much. How can I help you? That's what you want to hear. That's when you know you're running a stellar interview. I also recommend having a rapid fire round. I've had this a few times in my years of being interviewed, but it's fun things, you know, like, you know, what was your favorite food growing up? If you could do one thing and get away with it, what would you love to do? If you had a superpower, what would it be? Rapid fire questions, they're not necessarily deep or profound, but they're a little playful. They keep your guest at the edge of their seat and having fun. There's another thing that I do that I recommend, and it's called the format. The number 4, M-A-T, and I learned this while going through my trainer's programming of NLP. It's just a really great system to help you have some structure to your interview. And it's based on how people learn and the different groups of learners in our society. So you want your interview to start off talking about why. Like why somebody should listen to this interview. Why this individual is going to be important for people to listen to. Then you want to talk about what. And that's like the what are they going to gain from the interview. Then how they can use the information. And then what if. What if this didn't happen? So let me go back to that. Why, what, how, what if. And you can set that up in the intro. And then actually dive deep in the interview. So ask questions about why they got into this, why the material that they're sharing is important for people to listen to. Then spend time on the what. This is the data. This is the research. This is asking the harder-hitting, detailed content questions. Then get into how questions. How can people use this information? Get strategies out of your guest. What can people actually go and do right away? What are implementable tasks that they can take action on? And then last, what if questions. This is for all the people that are the worst case scenario people. These are the people that want to know, like, well, what if this doesn't work? Or what if I tried that? Or what if I go this way? You want to start handling questions that have to do with what if. So why, what, how, what if. The majority of people are why people. This is why we start with them in the beginning of the format process. Then the data people come next. Well, what? What is the information here? Then there are the action-oriented people. How? I don't care about the why and what. Just how am I going to use this? And lastly, the what if people. They will wait to the very end and hold their hands up high saying, well, what if this or what if that? So you want to cover it in that order. When you're interviewing your guests, be confident in interrupting them gently if they get off track, if they go off topic for a considerable amount of time. I call it make sure you're herding the cats, that you are doing great frame control. Frame control is just like a picture. It looks best in a frame. You want to have it framed neatly so that people know what it is. Questions are no different. If you ask a question and somebody starts going down a rabbit hole, not getting anywhere near your answer, you want to bring them back on topic. Herd the cats. I interviewed somebody about 4 years ago in front of an entire live audience, and I would ask a question, and then 2 seconds later, we were tumbling down a rabbit hole, and it was crazy, because this guest was not trying to be ornery. They were not mean or bad or trying to be rude. They were just so tremendously ADD, and their brain just went off in so many different splinters that I had to lovingly nudge them back on course. And you need to be confident enough to say, you know, this is a great story. Thank you so much for sharing it. But what I want to know is, let's get back to, or thank you so much for some of those details. But I think what's important here is, let's get back to, you want to be guiding them back on the rails. Because some guests get off the rails. They will either do it when they're nervous, when they're uncomfortable, when they don't like the questions, when they are just having a very wandering mind, and you want to be respectful about herding the cats. Get the train back on the rails. You also want to make sure that you're having a genuine conversation. I talked about this in the last episode, about how some people ask questions that aren't even questions. I called it the no question question, where they'll say, Sean, I heard you wrote a book called Get Off Your Butt. And then they just pause. And then that's their question. I heard you wrote a book. Which, not really a question, but now as the guest, you got to figure out what is that question and how do you answer it. But if you are the one hosting the interview, you want to make sure you don't do that. Don't ever set the guest up to have to run the interview. Don't ever set the guest up to have to figure out and decipher where the question is. You want to have a genuine conversation. So when you ask them a question and they answer it, instead of hopping right to the next question, which can be awkward and abrupt, maybe get into some dialogue with them about their answer. Maybe have some spontaneous follow-up questions that creates an actual dialogue. You don't want to leave the guest hanging, wondering, what the heck do I talk about here? You also want to make sure that you have very succinct questions. I've been asked questions before. I can tell they're oftentimes ad-libbed, where there's like 5 questions and then they stop. And then now I have to decipher which of those 5 questions to answer, or do I answer them in order? Do I answer all of them? What do I do? So when you're having this genuine conversation, make sure that you're actually interacting with their answers so that it feels like a conversation between friends over coffee in a cafe. You just want to have a good time with them. And you don't want to overload them with 5-6 questions at once and then hope that they figure out which question to answer and what order to answer them in. Be genuine. Respond and enjoy the interview experience. When you're putting together your questions, ask questions you want to know the answer to. Don't ask questions you think sound good or make you sound smart. No, ask questions that you actually want to know the answer to, because then you're going to get deeper with them. They're going to see that you're actually caring about the material, and it's going to translate better to the listener. I'm going to finish this podcast episode by talking to you about the don'ts, a list of don'ts. Don't keep interjecting your opinion. I have this happen a lot where the host will ask me a question, and then they feel the need to answer with their own opinion on their own question for the same amount of time that I just answered their question, or longer. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to know your response. I'm not interviewing you, you're interviewing me. Let me tell you, when a guest is sitting there having to hear the host go on and on and on, they tell their friends, don't do this interview. This was a waste of my time. This was a waste of the listener's time, because the host just wants to hear their own voice. Don't do that. If you have opinions that you feel are important, do a follow-up interview where you just share your own opinions on your own episode. Don't waste the guest's time interjecting your opinion to try to look smart to the guest or to your audience listener. That's going to make you actually look dumb. I would recommend, don't make all your questions up on the fly. You're going to bounce around. You're going to look totally ill-prepared. You know, it's fine to have response questions to what they say and have that dialogue type of question, but don't go in there blindly. Don't go in there thinking, I can make up this whole interview, unless that's something that you are phenomenal at and you've been working on for years. Make sure that your questions, that you have some type of framework there in advance. Also, make sure you're staying present with the answers. Make sure you're present with your guest. Because if you drift off, it's obvious. I can tell the host drifts off when all of a sudden they quickly go to their next question and don't interact with me at all. I know that they just kind of drifted off. Oh, now I got to go to my next question. Don't do that. Be present with your guest. The next thing is, don't be a weird fanboy or fangirl to your guest. You know, if they're a celebrity author or just an entertainer or you've looked up to them for years, don't sit and kiss their butt. It makes them feel tremendously uncomfortable. Don't send a ton of rainbows and sunshines and go on and on and on about how much they changed your life. Sure, if you want to thank them, but don't overwhelm them with gratitude. It will make them feel uncomfortable, and the listener will think, uh-oh, we've got a stalker here. So be respectful about your interaction with the guest. Another thing that combines with don't be a fanboy is don't act like your guest is your friend just because they agreed to be on your interview. I've had people say at the end, they'll hang up and they'll be like, well, okay, I stopped recording, Sean. So, and sometimes they'll even do it live. I really look forward to our next interview. When do you think you can come back on? Or, hey, so I'm going to be in Phoenix in the next couple of weeks, Sean. When can we grab lunch? Or who do you know that would you think would love to be on my program? Don't put your guest on the spot like that. Don't act like you're friends with them just because they agreed to be interviewed by you. It's uncomfortable. If there's any shot of you being friends with the guest, it's not going to happen because you forced their hand, that you pushed the issue. That's uncomfortable. You want to make sure that you're also conscious of the speed of your voice and the tonality. You want to make sure that you're not racing through your questions, mumbling your words. You want to make sure that you're enunciating clearly, slowly, but not too slowly, because then that gets awkward. No, you want to have a normal pace, normal conversation. And the last thing I would say is, don't be a know-it-all. If they are coming up with answers that you know, don't be like, oh yeah, totally, got it. Yeah, no, I knew that already. Yep, yep, I got it. Yep, I've heard that. I actually say that a lot in my own speech. Don't do that. Be amazed by their answers. Say like, wow, that is such a good reminder. That's great. I'm so glad that you bring up that point. I really appreciate hearing that in my life. That's important for me and for my listener. If you are normal and relaxed and casual but yet respectful and you create an incredible interview with the depth of research and genuine, pleasant conversation, you are going to be an amazing host. Hopefully you got some value out of today, and I would love for you to interact with me more. I have actual conversations and interactions and create new content exclusive just on my Facebook group, and I'd love for you to be a Facebook group member. So here's how you become a member. Go to facebook.com/groups/lucrative speaker. I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure and subscribe to The Sean Stevenson Show on iTunes and leave a review of the podcast. For more information and further conversation, head on over to our Facebook group, Lucrative Speaker. I'm Sean Stevenson, your professional speaking guide. I'll catch you next time on The Sean Stevenson Show. You've got a message. Let's get it to millions.